Well, if school start times are delayed, all the more opportunity for young, budding minds to dream. For a long time, the study of dreams was relegated to the fringes of mysticism and pseudoscience. But in the 1970s, a man named Stephen LaBerge gained a kernel of credibility for his research on lucid dreaming. That is, when a dreamer becomes aware that he or she is in fact asleep. Dorian Ralston is a freelance writer covering cognitive science, mental health, and the mind. His article on the work of Stephen LaBerge and on new efforts to understand lucid dreaming appeared in the online publication Matter. Virginia spoke to him about the phenomenon.
So let's talk about this experience of lucid dreaming. What is it?
Well, the definition is quite straightforward, but it's subtle. Lucid dreaming is simply being aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming. You're not creating a dream from scratch. The dream's going on. You become aware that you're dreaming or become lucid, and then it's a matter of cultivating the ability to redirect the plot as you like. And it's not an easy skill to learn, and when people begin cultivating it, it's, I guess, little surprise that the things that they choose to do and pursue in their dreams are sort of typical fantasies. You know, they might try flying, or they might try to engage in kind of erotic fantasies, or do things that just normally aren't part of their waking life. But potentially, with enough mastery over this ability to redirect your dream plot, some people report even healing psychological wounds, confronting recurrent nightmare characters, even practicing skills. Some athletes or musicians might rehearse certain practices in their dream that a few have actually reported have resulted in real gains in waking life.
Given what we now know or can study about brain science, do we know what is happening in the brain when a person is lucid dreaming?
One thing that we've found is that the frontal lobes appear to be activated the moment that someone becomes lucid in a dream. And these frontal areas of the brain are typically associated with executive functions, such as long-term planning, memory, even self-reflection, which coheres with the way lucid dreamers report the experience. And the way we're able to do this science now is really a methodology that goes back to the late 1970s, Stephen LaBerge doing his graduate work at Stanford.
Tell us about this Stephen LaBerge, the man you describe as the founding father of lucid dreaming.
So Stephen LaBerge was the first sleep scientist to publish empirical proof of a lucid dream. And what he was doing at Stanford in the late 1970s was utilizing a recent discovery of his advisor, William Dement, about rapid eye movements. Rapid eye movements had been known to be associated with the most vivid moments of dreaming during the night. So his advisor, William Dement, discovered that these eye movements weren't always random. Sometimes they actually conformed to the content of the dream. For example, he noticed in one case, eye movements were shifting left, right, left, right, left, right. And he thought that the pattern was too deliberate to be completely random. So he woke the subject up, asked the subject what they were dreaming about, and lo and behold, they reported dreaming about a ping pong match. So LaBerge figured that if these involuntary eye movements conform to the content of an ordinary dream, then voluntary eye movements could conform to the content of a lucid dream in which you gain control over the dream. So he took himself as the first subject and went to sleep in the lab, tethered to all this polysomnographic equipment, measuring the electrical activity given off by his eyes and his brain and other muscles throughout his body. And in the early morning hours, there was a very definitive sign on the recording equipment that he was signaling to his lab technician that he had awakened in his dream.
We're speaking with Dorian Rolston. He wrote about the work of Stephen LaBerge, a pioneer in the study of lucid dreaming, who now holds workshops in lucid dreaming in Hawaii, which all, Dorian, makes it sound very new agey, you know, interesting, but you know, there you are in Hawaii going to have lucid dream workshops, learning how to do it. Did it work for you?
Well, it's a very dreamy location. And that's not coincidental. Unfortunately, it had very little impact on my dream life and, for that matter, on most of the attendees. I think we were all quite frustrated that we would show up every morning kind of bleary-eyed and hoping that someone would report some very elaborate, life-changing lucid dream, and it just never happened.
Is the idea that you could get better at it? I mean, with practice?
Yes. It's certainly a skill that needs to be developed over time. Usually, there's a little bit of beginner's luck involved, where just the idea of becoming lucid in a dream is so enthralling that often the first time you discover lucid dreaming, you become lucid that night. But to become lucid on a regular basis is really something that takes a lot of practice.
But now it is being more accepted, or at least studied, by academics and scientists. Yet LaBerge himself is still considered a fringy character. Why is that?
Well, for one thing, he didn't pursue a conventional tenure track. He published his seminal study discovering that lucid dreamers could be empirically verified. And he struggled a lot to convince his colleagues not only that this was a real phenomenon, but also that it was a phenomenon worthy of study. At the time, sleep science was changing paths and funding was being diverted to clinical studies rather than so-called pure research on states of consciousness. And LaBerge didn't want to compromise his interests, so he found another way to continue studying lucid dreaming, which was to hold these workshops, which would fund his research privately and would also generate experimental subjects in the form of attendees at these workshops, of which I was one this past September.
And what did you walk away thinking, that this is genuine science or a little bit more mystical?
I think the peer-reviewed science on lucid dreaming is genuine. I think it's illuminating interesting things about consciousness. I think it's still a very new science. I mean, this is only in the past 5 years that a lot of these insights have come to light. So it'll take replication. It'll take a number of years and certainly more subjects. Right now, we only have a handful of lucid dreams as our data points from which to draw these conclusions. So it'll take some time to corroborate these findings. But as far as the peer-reviewed literature is concerned, I'm convinced that it's significant and certainly rigorous. As far as what LaBerge is doing in Hawaii, it's difficult to say. He claims that he's amassed reams of data over decades of running these workshops with hundreds of data points of lucid dreams that have happened in Hawaii or before that when he ran the workshops on Stanford's campus. But none of it has been analyzed and certainly none of it has been published. So it's difficult to say exactly what we're going to learn from that data that he's gathered. But he promises that it's going to overturn some of these new findings that are coming to light now. But we'll have to wait and see.
Dorian, you still trying to practice lucid dreaming?
I certainly am. I think now that I'm returning to a regular sleep schedule, not being quite so pressed on deadline, I'm going to devote myself a little more to seeing how far I can cultivate this skill. I don't think I'm one of the naturally prodigious lucid dreamers, as LaBerge or others seem to be. Some of the folks that I've spoken to really are able to concoct quite elaborate, vivid scenarios in their dreams that I only get the chance to see in the movies.
Freelance writer Dorian Ralston there, speaking with Virginia Prescott about lucid dreaming. You can find a link to his article for the online publication Matter at wordofmouthradio.org. Up next, a look at the dreams that happen when we're awake. Some people fantasize about becoming a doctor, a professional athlete, or a rock star. We'll hear the story of a woman who's living her lifelong dream playing music on the street. That's when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.